Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
And we are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way. You want to see your loan options, adjust payments, closing costs online in real time. Friends, Rocket can. It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern, John Marks is in. Great host out of WIP, where I've already probably offended him, where he did send me a picture of he and his family in the entire pajamas. I'm not a grown man who wears Jam Jams. It's not going to happen. And John's a wonderful guy. I did have to ask where they got that couch, because the black leather couch is something I've seen in many a cinema movie. And he did say to me on Twitter that it's his in-laws, so I have questions about his in-laws. Maybe he'll tell you coming up at 2 p.m. Eastern. 855-212-4CBS. Frank Marchese joining us. I want to make sure I say that right, because, of course, with Pierno, with Marchese, with Belletti, myself, Carmen, I feel like I'm Tom Hagen here in The Godfather. I feel a little left out. Work or Shoot coming up at 12:20 p.m. Eastern. Also, Chris Muller, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh, 12:40 p.m. Eastern. I get down to the bottom of it because I take swings at Pittsburgh, or not swings at the city. I take swings at what the problem is with the Steelers. When you lost the first two, you know, you're bound to lose one, and there's lots of teams in the NFL. They lose stupid games to teams they really shouldn't. It's not college football where upsets don't always happen and where teams can recruit and they're different. The NFL, man, they're all paid pros. They get all paid in American greenbacks. And so they're all supposed to be the differences between teams, the way the cap is, the way the draft is, the way everything is. It's really set up to be a bunch of tight games. It's set up to be this way. So I don't want to overreact. They lost three in a row. I don't want to overreact to the thought of it's a problem in the organization, because I still wonder that. Because last year, Ben Roethlisberger wasn't on that team, and things seemed to be hunky-dory. They were 8-8. They weren't as talented, but they got along. They had a team atmosphere, and Mike Tomlin actually rolled up his sleeves and looked as if he was the coach that he has always been hiding, that some people have never given him credit of being. That's the way I thought it was. This year, we have more drama. The year before 2019, more drama. 9-6-1. Antonio Brown lost his mind. You had lost Le'Veon Bell before. Like, there's just so many things that are ugly out of it. And so I do want to get down to it. A guy who's in Pittsburgh, hosts a fine afternoon show there, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. Chris Muller going to join us at 12:40 p.m. Eastern. Because there's a lot of things that I don't want to overrate. I like the Rams. I like the Rams' defense. They lost to the Jets. Does that immediately mean I discount them? The Seahawks have bad losses. We had Kevin Boylan on just over an hour ago. Kevin said, hey, don't discount the Seahawks. As much as I want to, don't discount the Seahawks. Man, they lost to the Giants at home. Giants are the worst team ever, so it's very difficult to figure out what's what this season with some of these teams, at least in the NFC, and then with the Steelers. I just don't want to have to say something I got to walk back in a few weeks. The Ravens, it seemed like, a lot of people, going in that same division, the Ravens, it seemed that a lot of people were taking swings they really shouldn't have taken because they've looked pretty good here over the last couple of weeks. They played Jacksonville. Jacksonville's not a hard opponent. But it seems that Lamar, he's got his feet back under him, got his win back. We're not hammering on Greg Roman all the time, and they look like a team with two games left to go in the regular season. They're poised to make a bit of a run again. If they don't win in the postseason, we will continue to sling those arrows at that football team. So I want to get some things figured out with Chris coming up at 12:40. Also, work or shoot, 12:20 p.m. Eastern, 855-212-4CBS. I want to ask you flat out, would you pay to go see James Harden play? The NBA is supposed to be a traveling roadshow. Would you pay, wherever city you're at, Houston, I kind of have to leave you out of this, but any city you're at, if you're close to NBA basketball, would you pay, if we were allowed to go watch them, say that these are pre- and post-COVID times, you got the disposable income, you got two kids, you got a girl who's a basketball fan, you got a boy who's a basketball fan. Say your team is just any town USA that happens to have a basketball team that doesn't have LeBron and doesn't have Giannis or Kevin Durant, all right? Say you have a team, and they're okay, they're not crazy, and they don't have a bunch of stars. Are you willing, because the NBA, again, is supposed to be this traveling roadshow, you willing to plunk down money if James Harden and the whoevers are coming to town? Since he plays for the Rockets still, technically, he's employed by the Rockets. I don't know if he wants to play for him. But if he's employed by the Rockets, I want to know, would you pay money to go see James Harden? Because I think that's the crux of all this. You know, yesterday, I mentioned some things about James Harden, and I had said, I don't think James Harden is doing anything different than what LeBron James has done. LeBron James has just done it through back channels. No, LeBron didn't show up. If we're going to take everything to the nth degree and take everything literally, no, LeBron never went to a club during a pandemic with his mask off and was accepting luggage from his friend and made sure the whole thing was on video. Basically the NBA's version of George Costanza. No, if we're going to be stupid and take everything literally, no, he never did that. But if you think LeBron never had power over a basketball team, you're crazy. But LeBron has an image to uphold. And the other part of it is that most of people really like LeBron. Just like the uncle, or just like the principal from The Breakfast Club. People like me around here. I'm a swell guy. People like LeBron. They think he's a swell guy. They really enjoy him. They emulate him. He's one of the greatest basketball players to ever play the game. And people will go and pay in another city to say that they saw LeBron James, to make sure that their kids saw LeBron James. I think that's where the difference is. Because we have player empowerment, and we have people who want to go and do their own thing. And, hey, we've been told that we are supposed to support that. I don't have to support anything. But I can also know, hey, if you want to go ahead and do it, fine, you can go ahead and do it. I don't have to support it. I don't have to watch it. But, fine, you can go ahead and do it. You've proven to me enough that it's your right. It's your availability. If you want to go somewhere else, you can go right on ahead. Fine. Doesn't mean I have to go pay to watch it. Doesn't mean I have to really support it. But we've accepted it with LeBron. We've accepted it with Kevin Durant. We would accept it if Steph ever really wanted to do, because Steph is Steph, and Steph has changed the way that we watch basketball, the way that basketball has been played in the NBA, the way that basketball is really played at a youth level, for better or for worse. There's some coaches who hate it. There's some coaches who love it. Either way, I think it makes a lot of kids want to play basketball, because Steph Curry, even though he's yoked, plays in Atlanta Giants and looks like a small figure compared to those guys. I think he does great things for the game of basketball. We like Steph Curry. We put him in that mix. Giannis Antetokounmpo, a foreign-born player, has really risen and picked up the status of an organization that plays in a mid-major market, has stayed with that. He's kind of the champion of everybody else in America. We like Giannis. I think Giannis is in that mix, and there was already that threat from him. You can give me an argument someday for maybe Ja Morant, Zion, Kawhi, even though Kawhi's very quiet. Luka maybe someday. We could have those arguments for those guys. Because I think people will pay to say that they saw them. But a regular NBA fan, that's not really the market that you're going to. A regular NBA fan is going to pay for regular NBA basketball no matter what. But the other ones, the people who are just there to see they saw it, how are you going to get those people to do it? And I think that's the reason why a lot of people are upset with James Harden right now. Because I think if you have a family of four and you're able to go watch NBA basketball, if you find out that any of those other players that I just mentioned, if you find out that those teams are in town on a Tuesday and James Harden is in town with the Rockets on a Wednesday, I think you'd rather go watch those other teams. Because we don't think of James Harden in that mixture. You know, I got a lot of people, when there's fans who are fans of basketball and they go, they're season ticket holders, they go to every game of basketball. It's the same thing I equate to it when it comes to concerts. We all know a lot of people who go to concerts no matter what. They love concerts. They love watching a live performance. They miss concerts. They hope that they come back as soon as they can. Me, I like music just as much as any other guy. I don't go to a lot of concerts, and I never really went to a lot of concerts. I wanted to go see a couple of acts and a couple of musicians to know that I got to see him before I couldn't see him anymore. I paid the $106 to go see AC/DC. Great seats, by the way. I wanted to make sure, as a person who's an AC/DC fan, I got to see AC/DC. Tom Petty. I made damn sure I got to go see Tom Petty at Blossom Music Center. I didn't know he was going to pass away so suddenly after, but I got to go see Tom Petty, and I love Tom Petty, and I miss Tom Petty like crazy. And I was glad and thankful that I got to see him. I hopefully will get to do the same thing with Metallica and a couple other ones before it's all said and done. I go to see the spectacle, to say I saw him, to take in the performance, to enjoy the performance, so then I have the personal memory. The memory of going to the concert, to see the people live, to see the Youngs live before Malcolm passed, to see the whole thing, to get the entire spectacle. And there are players in professional sports, and certainly in the NBA, who we think of like that. I don't think that James Harden is one of those guys. We know he's good. He's a six-time All-Pro, eight-time, seven-time All-Star. I know James Harden's great. I know he's a great scorer. But I don't put him in that category. And nor do I really think that if I put him on his own island with his own team and made him the centerpiece, I don't think they can win a championship. And I think that's what matters a lot to a regular NBA fan and a person who's a sports fan who wants to see a player and say that they saw that player. I know LeBron can win a championship. It's been proven. I think Kevin Durant has done it. You'd say what you want to about Steph, but physically, Durant takes it to a different level. Steph certainly in his own right has done it. That's what makes that argument fun. Giannis, I think, can do it, just like I mentioned on that list. But there's that subset of players that we just don't take them that way. Kyrie's interesting. I could give Kyrie credit, and certainly I can give him a lot of blame, depending on where you're at on 2016 and then the subsequent years in Boston. Russell Westbrook, I think, is that level. I think a lot of people accuse him of watering down triple-doubles. And whether or not you'd pay to see Russell Westbrook, I'm a fanboy of Russ Westbrook, I'd absolutely go pay to see Russell Westbrook play. But I know I'm probably in the minority on that. Jason Tatum, possibly one of those players in the future. Are people paying to see Jason Tatum right now? If you're in Detroit and we're allowed to have fans again, would you pay to go see Jason Tatum play? I don't know if you would. You pay for the other guys. And I think that Harden's in that mix, and that's why we are so critical of him. What he's done has been reckless. Yes, that was reckless, but it's also a scream to try to get out of Houston. And because he wants out of Houston so bad and he's willing to go through such reckless points to do so, I think that's what makes it even worse. But it's also that I don't think that people love him the way they love some of those other players. Like they love LeBron James. And I don't think that if you had your choice, you'd pay to see him.
This is the Ken Carmen Show.
Oh, it's almost time for Worker Shoot. But for a second, I got Frank. I brought up the Frank during the break. Frank has seen the video of the guy getting hit in the face at the Circle K with the twisted T. Have you not?
Yes, I have.
Scale of 1 to 10, how good a hit was that in the face with the twisted T?
I think it's more the way the can exploded. That was a 15 amazing. In my book right there, just that.
I used to live right next to Elyria. I mean, that's my neck of the woods. I used to live in North Ridgeville. Now we live in Streetsboro, which is about an hour east because, you know, the traffic and stuff like that. About 40 minutes an hour east. And I used to live right next to that town. I'm going, oh, my God. And it's so satisfying because the guy, he's sitting there screaming, smack me. And then the only thing that would have made it better, and you can tell the guy regrets it, is that if he would have been able to flip that can and hold on to that can and then complete hitting that guy in the face, And I got to tell you, the no selling on the just getting right back up right after getting hit in the face is sensational to me.
Yeah, that would have put me down.
You know, if that guy was so, if he was sober, I don't think he would have been yelling that stuff in the first place. But you could tell he was drunk because he just popped right back up. I go, how do you just pop right back up and no sell getting hit in the face with twisted tea?
Yeah, no, he was certainly on something, but boy, oh boy, that was a hit and a half.
He smacked him into Christmas of 2021, and he gets back up and then gets choked out by the guy. And he had it coming. For what he was saying, he certainly had it coming beforehand. But I'm going, man, we made a mistake. I should have moved over there. I shouldn't have moved away. I should have moved over. Because that has got me all over. Go ahead, Frank. What were you going to say?
No, yeah, he definitely earned every bit of what he got.
That's why I just love convenience stores, because you know what? Someday something like that's going to happen, and I want to be there. That's why I love convenience stores, man. All right, we ready real quick now, because we got Chris Muller coming up. We got to do it. It's time for Worker Shoot. Go ahead, replay it. Here we go. I just had to get that out there, and I got to make that lady a drop on my regular show, because that's just amazing. You got yours, buddy. All right, Frank, here we go. Now, we know the history of Worker Shoot. We know the rules of Worker Shoot. Worker Shoot is like true or false, except that shoot is true and work is false. So it actually is more like false or true, but I want to switch it around because I think just playing true or false is a little bit boring. So I wanted to put it in a parlance that everybody certainly couldn't understand and make it a little bit more confusing. That's why I wanted to call it Worker Shoot instead of true or false, or false or true, or just true or false. So here we go. Work or shoot, where work is true, where work is false, and shoot is true. See, it confuses even me. Frank, go.
The Brooklyn Nets are off to a 2-0 start, blowing out both the Golden State Warriors and Boston Celtics, respectively. Work or shoot, the Brooklyn Nets will raise the Larry O'Brien Trophy at season's end.
That is a work. I don't believe in the, this is such a bad cop out. Are they healthy? If they're not, because I just don't believe that either one of those guys are going to remain healthy through the entire season. I think they got the goods. And boy, I tell you what, I said the same thing for college football. We watch because we like stories. That's what, you can complain all you want about fairness. We watch for stories. LeBron James versus Kevin Durant. LeBron James and Anthony Davis versus Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving in an NBA Finals. If you got bad ratings out of that one, then you got a real serious problem. There's plenty of things that I could have blamed it on this year. There's plenty of things. I think that the cornucopia of sports, I do think that some people had their – more than enough people wanted to tell me on Twitter about politics, whatever. I think that the cornucopia of sports actually made some sports cannibalize each other because, listen, we like football more than the other sports. That's our country. But I think that if you have those four guys playing against each other with the drama, with the intrigue, I think it'll bring it that much better. I think it'll be just great. I think that they can get there, but I don't think that they can win it. I don't think that they can win it because I don't think they're going to stay healthy enough to win it. And it's not even about taking James Harden and putting him on that team. Not about that. I think they are good enough where they can really compete and win. I just don't think that they can get out of the East with their health history. So I still say that is a work. Next.
All right, next up, James Harden continues to make headlines all on and off the court. Latest involving partying at a strip club with no mask. Work or shoot, James Harden will end up with the Philadelphia 76ers by the trade deadline.
It makes sense. I say it's a shoot. I think it's a shoot. I don't think that organization, they went with the hinky plan. A lot of people supported the hinky plan. So many of the hard-thinking basketball guys went with the hinky plan, and now I just think they're willing to throw something against the wall. It's a good team. I know it's a good team, but there's something missing. And I think that they're desperate to try to add something to that. The weird blame of Ben Simmons of everything, I just think he's become a professional scapegoat for them. They've had their own problems with injuries, but I think they've become so desperate to make this whole thing pay off because they put their fans through the ringer. I think that this is going to make total sense. I think that they're going to get James Harden to Philadelphia. I think Philadelphia is maybe the only team. You know, when we had Sam Amico on about 20 minutes ago, I think that Sam was right. They might have to just give him away in Houston, but I think that Philadelphia is the team that would give you something back and give you something that you can build with if you're Houston. The relationship that they've had there before, I think it makes a ton of sense. I really do. And I think that the ownership is willing to do anything they can to pay that thing off. I'm going to say that, yes, it's a shoot. James Harden ends up with the Philadelphia 76ers. Already, we're good. We're 2 for 2 already so far. This is good stuff. Continue, Frank.
All right, we're staying in Philadelphia. Reports have surfaced that Carson Wentz's frustration is growing in Philadelphia behind Jalen Hurts. Work or shoot, Carson Wentz has played his last game in an Eagles uniform.
That is a That's a shoot. I could talk myself into it, which is probably not the right thing to do. Cap space, who can pay for a quarterback? Who would be willing to pay for Carson Wentz right now? You have a ready-made team, and I know I'd have to check something, and Hickey would be upset because he's a big Colts fan, and he might be able to prove me the other way. But I'd have to check. I think the Colts are in the market for a young quarterback there. So I got a couple of weirdos who bring up the Eason thing. I think that's pretty silly. I think they're in the market for a good young quarterback. Carson Wentz is still young. I think that the Frank Reich connection, it makes total sense to that. I still think it's a shoot. I think you can get rid of that contract. You can get some picks back. Because the contract is so prohibitive, I'm not sure how many picks you're going to get back. But you can get picks back. You can help out Jalen Hurts. If Jalen Hurts continues to put together these performances and play well and keep them kind of in that playoff mix, which they were talking about it today over at WIP, that they're still in that playoff mix. If Jalen Hurts can somehow get them through the NFC East and get them to the spot that they need to be, or just looks good throughout the rest of the year, I think you got yourself an argument. I really think you got yourself an argument. I don't like the Nick Foles comparison. I think that Jalen Hurts is a more naturally talented athlete quarterback that can do a lot more things for you than what Nick Foles can, and Nick Foles did do a lot for them. I try to be nice to Nick Foles, but also put Nick Foles down in the face of Jalen Hurts at the same time, because I think Jalen Hurts can do more things for Philadelphia. I think that can be a shoot. I don't think he wants to be there. He's made it very hard for me to defend him at any turn. I haven't lined up to defend Carson Wentz, but a couple of years ago, when you had the teammate stuff thrown at him, it seemed fishy. Something there seemed fishy, and I don't like to use the cop-out of, well, if you're not willing to put your name on it, it must not be true. Very few people are willing to put their name on it. That's why we always say sources, because nobody really wants that back shot that comes after them if they put their name on it. That's why you make such a big deal if somebody's willing to state their claim, a la what Dabo Swinney did this week, putting Ohio State number 11. That's a big deal. So it's not about that. I don't care about that. But it was brought up before, and then this story gets brought up by Adam Schefter, where he has no interest in backing up Jalen Hurts, and frankly, I probably wouldn't either, but it just makes him look worse in the public eye. And a divorce from Philadelphia to go to Indianapolis would make sense. To go to, some people might bring up New Orleans, I'm not sure. They already have their own resurrection project, and they already have Taysom Hill, and they're just going to force that down our throats no matter what we have to say about it, so we can get to that point if we want to. But I think with the other ones there, I think that we have to look at the opportunities that he may have with other organizations. Denver could find themselves in the mix by the end of this season. I think Indianapolis is definitely in that mix. Phillip Rivers is an older quarterback. Maybe he's got another year in him, but I really wouldn't want to risk it. I think that that's a very good football team. You don't want to waste that defense, because if they get to the playoffs and they go down, I don't think you want to get to that level at all to just wonder, I've built this defense, I have weapons on offense, I have a great offensive line, and I don't have the most important position because either my quarterback's hurt or too old or any one of the other situations. So this is the time where I would tell Chris Ballard, if Philadelphia's calling, you better listen, because you can resurrect him, you can work on his relationship with Frank Reich, it's probably a very good one, and you guys can do some good things together and really get some good play out of here and resurrect his own good thought within the public, because Carson Wentz's name is mud right now. So I say shoot. I think that they can get him out of there. Next.
The New York Jets notched their first win of the season, defeating the LA Rams. This created controversy amongst Jet fans in the hopes that they in their hopes to draft Clemson star Trevor Lawrence. Workers shoot. Trevor Lawrence will be with gangrene next season.
Well, how the hell is he going to get with the New York Jets if they don't have the number one pick? That's a work. How could he end up with the Jets? Unless the Jacksonville Jaguars actually win a game. Because the Jets, I think the Jets have checked out. They got their foot out the door. They got two games left. They already got their win. That's it. So they're going to go 1-15. But the Jaguars, they have the tie break, don't they? So the Jaguars get a 1-15. They're the ones that get the tie break. They're the ones that get Trevor Lawrence. He's not going to end up with the New York Jets. And honestly, again, if the Jets were in line to take him, if I was Trevor Lawrence and I was his family, I'd go have a serious conversation with the Johnson brothers. Because you need to put it out there that you're going to protect me and that we can do this together. It's not all hunky-dory. Bad teams are at the top of the draft for a reason. If you're not taken by that bad team, you're going to be taken by another bad team. But there's differences in bad. There's a difference in stink. There's something that stinks just a little bit, and then there's the Jets. So if you're going to make your pick, maybe you might want to pick Jacksonville. Or maybe you might want to pick some other bad team. But the Jets... that's an ugly one. And that is Work or Shoot. Frank, you've done a fantastic job. Well done, sir.
Thank you very much.
Coming up at 1 o'clock, I hope it's only wrong place, wrong time for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I may have to change what I say at 1 o'clock about the Pittsburgh Steelers, because joining me next is Chris Muller, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh, afternoon host.
This is the Ken Carman Show.
What's going on in Pittsburgh? What's the problem with the Steelers? Chris Muller joins us right now to try to answer that question. Follow him on Twitter, at Chris Muller PGH, but I'm sure you can't spell his name right because it's pronounced differently. Either way, Chris Muller, pronounced Muller, but it's actually spelled Mueller, joins us right now. Hello, Chris.
In Boston, I tell people to pronounce it like famed third baseman Bill Miller, actually. So depending on where I'm at, you know, I throw a bunch of different stuff out there. How am I doing? Not well, because I got broadsides from all these Steelers fans who, when I point out that the team is doing very poorly on offense, tell me about how the Browns were doing really poorly 6 weeks ago. There's a lot of cope in the Steelers fan base right now because they don't want to take a hard look at what's actually happening with this team.
That's no good. That's no good to start things off for Steelers fans right now. Chris Muller's the afternoon host at 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh, one half of the PM team with Andrew Filippone. So I want to know, are the problems, though, are they concerned with injuries, or do they go deeper than that, Chris?
I think it is to split the baby here like King Solomon. It is a little bit of both, but I am more inclined to say that it's deeper than that. Like, they're getting hurt, but guess what? You get hurt more often in football, I think, when you're getting old, right? And as I look at their starting offensive line, just to start there, Villanueva's 32. He's a turnstile at this point. Pouncey's 31. His reputation is the only thing that keeps people mentioning him as one of the better centers in the league. He's not anymore. DeCastro, I think, is their best offensive lineman, but he's 30, and he has been, I think, dinged up all year. Okorafor, who's playing at right tackle, has been underwhelming. So the net effect of all of it is they've had a lot of injuries on that line. They've had to move pieces around, but they're also not very good at multiple positions where people assume they are good. Villanueva got worked by Carl Lawson. And Carl Lawson's a good football player, but this isn't like Myles Garrett or TJ Watt lining up opposite one of your tackles and dominating them. This is Carl Lawson. And then the other problem, I mean, if we're going to go real deep here, the quarterback's 38. He looks every bit a 38-year-old football player at this point. And whereas, Ken, when they started, especially like 7 or 8-0, and they were still looking good on offense, people assumed that this short passing game was something that they were doing to keep, you know, defense is off balance, I guess, and it was going to be like the Patriots where the threat of the deep ball still existed when Brady was there, and that's why they were able to move the ball that way. At some point along the line, probably around the end of the Jacksonville game and then that Baltimore JV game on a Wednesday, everybody realized all at once, it seems, the Steelers actually throw the ball short because their quarterback can't or won't throw the ball deep. And that has changed everything for them. Teams have stopped respecting them at the line of scrimmage. They're bumping these receivers and roughhousing them. Roethlisberger doesn't want to hold on to the ball long enough. Oh, and by the way, when he does throw it down the field, it almost never works because he doesn't have enough steam on the ball to cut it through wind or get it over defenders' heads. It's real bad with the quarterback right now.
All right. That actually makes me feel better, though, if I'm a Steelers fan, and let me tell you why. I can deal with an old quarterback. I can deal with an injury. Like the Juju Smith-Schuster thing, like I watched that game the other night, and I just thought it was poetic. I really did. I thought that Juju Smith-Schuster with the stupid TikToks and everything. Again, if you win and you do great, then guys like me got to shut up. But with the stupid TikToks, like why would you do that to try to inspire a two-win football team that at one point was a rival with you? They were. There was a time, yes. And I just thought it was silly. And the whole game ended up being poetic, and it felt like poetic justice in that the Steelers had lost. But what you're telling me, hey, you got a banged-up older offensive line. You got a banged-up quarterback there. I know the cap situation is hellish coming up, and we'll get to that here in a second, but that makes me feel better than the organization being silly. Because if you have Juju Smith-Schuster doing stupid stuff before games, I go back to Antonio Brown doing stupid stuff after games, and certainly Juju Smith-Schuster is not the problem that Antonio Brown was, but the Love Bell hold up.
He's also not the player that Antonio Brown was, but that's another story.
Yeah, that is a very fair point. That's actually true. But I don't have the same problems with the organization that I've had in the past. So if it's just injuries, I can deal with that. The other thing, hey man, I'm in Cleveland. I've seen that a billion times over, and I'll tell you that's scarier to me than injuries.
What, the clowning stuff or the bad quarterback play?
I would say the injuries are easier.
You've probably
to handle.
Seen both in Cleveland, the clowning, yes. Ridiculous stuff, and the quarterback
yes.
play.
Yes.
I'll say this about the Juju thing quickly here. I'll say this much.
Please.
When he was doing it before every game and they were winning and no one said anything. So it's one of those team chemistry type of subjects. When you have a winning team, suddenly their chemistry is great. When you have a bad team, oh, they had terrible chemistry. But it's always ex post facto that people are actually observing these things, right?
So
he stopped doing it because he got chin-checked by Von Bell and Ben Roethlisberger. You know what the real problem with that play was for me as a Steelers fan?
What?
Ben Roethlisberger threw him a 3rd-and-2 hospital ball on a 2-yard hospital ball on 3rd-and-7. That should tell you that they have no confidence in their ability to do anything on offense.
A hospital ball on 3rd-and-7, you tell me. Okay, so then the organization is in a good place. I don't have to worry about that, do I? Seriously. Mm-hmm. I'm serious.
I mean, I think the organization is in a bad place in the immediate future because the cap is hell for them next year.
Okay,
and
but
they
in
have
terms
no quarterback
of
answer.
But in terms of the culture, I should say is
no.
The culture
is fine. The culture is fine, but the culture is also only as good as the players who are executing on the field. And right now, they're not doing that. So there's no good feelings. Like locally here, I'll tell you this, Ken. Locally, the writers and the people that cover the team, and, you know, day in and day out, were the last people to not give up, but to start sounding alarms. Like there was this idea, I think, because they've seen Roethlisberger be great for so long. Hey, he'll put it together. He'll get it right. This Bengals game was like crossing the Rubicon for them. After that, and after how utterly atrocious Roethlisberger looked, especially in the first half, which was a worse half of football than anything Duck Hodges or Mason Rudolph put forth last year. And I mean that.
Wow.
Suddenly, locally, the tone has completely changed, and there is a lot of consternation both about the rest of this year, which seems like it's going to be 3 games and no more for them, and then moving forward existentially.
Like, there were people banding about whether or not they win a game for the rest of this year again. Like, they're going to win another game.
I don't think so. Really? I'm in the camp. I think they're going to lose to the Colts. I think the Browns are going to work them over, and I think whoever they get in the first round of the playoffs is going to have easy pickings.
Other than that, how was the play, Mrs. Lincoln? Chris Muller joining us on the show from 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. I mean, I thought you might put a bit of a sunnier disposition on things. You're pretty dour over there. Let's get even further. Go ahead.
Well, I'll give you like a – so I mentioned the 3rd-and-7 pass to Juju. Like, why throw that pass? And it's a play that's DOA before – as soon as the ball leaves Roethlisberger's hands in that direction, you know, the best receiver in the league and the best run-after-catch guy in the league isn't going to turn that into a first down. That's just the troubling sign. You like yards per attempt as a stat, and so do I would imagine, because it's very simple. The higher the number, the more often and more successfully you're throwing the ball down the field. You're throwing it, and when you do, you're completing it for a lot of yards. Roethlisberger's average yards per attempt has not been above 6 in the last 5 games. Below 5 against the Bengals, who came in 29th in like the fancy football outsiders metric for pass defense. He threw the ball like a high school quarterback against one of the worst defenses against the pass in the league. That tells me all I need to know.
That's not good. That is really not good. You got it. You want it to be up over seven, is what you want.
Yeah, that's like the seven's good, and then above eight, which Roethlisberger has been at different points in his career for whole seasons. He led the league in it once. That's like the gold Mahomes standard. He's not. He's barely doing half of that against the Bengals. I don't know how people, either here or nationally, like outside of this Pittsburgh fishbowl, could look at what they're doing and think anything but they are cooked, man.
That's why when we do get the calls in Cleveland about Baker Mayfield and like, well, you know, he went through that stretch where he wasn't, you know, this, that, and the other.
He's throwing passes on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, yeah, that Roethlisberger won't even attempt, and he's completing them. And I'm not completely sold on Baker because I got burnt after his rookie year saying he was the best in the division moving forward.
Yeah,
but he looks a heck of a lot better than Ben Roethlisberger right now.
Well, I always put the yards per attempt is what I like. Now, it's not an end-all, be-all, obviously, but yards per attempt is what I like to pull out because it's far better than what it was last year. And as of right now, I believe it's better than where he was back in 2018. But we're not here to talk about the Browns. We're here to talk about the Steelers, obviously, and I don't want to turn it into the Browns. Chris Muller joining us, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. So let's make things even worse. What about that cap situation there? Because you guys got questions you have to answer about Bud Dupree and a couple of other ones, and then you have a quarterback who's what due to make what $41 million next year? What is that number?
Cap charge of $41.25 million. I have had SpotRack.com up all week, just kind of having this ready to recite to people. They can save $19 million if they cut him loose or he retires, and that roster, the big roster bonus he's due, is due on March 17th, first day of the new league year. They have to make a decision, and I have it on, not on a good authority, but the opinions of the people who've covered this team for decades, longer than I've been alive, is that they will not cut him. Like, there is a basic respect level that dictates they won't cut him, Ken.
Yeah.
He needs to walk away if it doesn't get better. He's always threatened it in the past. He's used that as a tool to get Todd Haley out of town. He said it before. If he craters the rest of the season, he needs to retire. Dupree's gone no matter what, I would think.
Wait a minute. $41 million, though? You're going to walk away from 41? I mean, after taxes, that's still over 20.
Well, I know. I mean, he'd be walking away ultimately from 19 because some of that $41 million is already spoken for him.
Oh, okay.
But,
well, there you go.
But he's still walking away from a ton of money if he does it. But, like, that's their only shot to not be in cap hell next year. Dupree's gone unless nobody wants to pay him big money because of his knee injury, but somebody might want to still take the risk. Juju's gone. I mean, a lot of players that are on this roster are not going to come back, and the only way they can, like, put a little bit of balm on that is if the quarterback isn't here next year, and that is a hard thought for Steelers fans to process, but if he's playing like this, he's not worth what they'd have to pay him. It's not even close.
So if this were the case, then probably the best thing for everybody else in the division would be if Ben Roethlisberger returns in 2021?
The way he's playing right now, yes. If I were a Browns fan or a Ravens fan or even a Bengals fan, if he, you know, if we see more of what we have seen from him, like the last, I'll say month, because it really goes back to that JV game against Baltimore. If I were the other three cities in this division, I would absolutely be rooting for Ben Roethlisberger to obstinately come back, because I don't think they'll be a good football team next year if that happens.
Wow, Chris Muller, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. Any other problems that we need to go over? How much blame is Mike Tomlin getting?
There's always going to be a faction here that wants to blame him immediately, like the second anything goes wrong. But I think this is fair, though. I think I can again split the baby. If he got a ton of credit for navigating 11 games undefeated with a team that, like, I had picked at 9-7, a team that had some uncertainty, then I think he deserves blame for them going in the tank here. But his side of the ball is definitely defense more than offense. And the defense really still has not been bad during this three-game losing streak. I mean, they held Buffalo to 19 points, then threw the pick six. They didn't play well the second half against Washington. And they were given, what, three short fields to defend against the Bengals? I mean, 17-0 is not ideal there, but the best they were probably going to do is be down 9-0. So I think he deserves blame insofar as he's the CEO, but his side of the ball is still doing way more, through a lot more injuries, by the way, to hold up their end of the bargain than the offense is.
Who's calling the shots on that offense?
If you think it's Randy Feetner, I have some lovely beachfront land right outside of Edina, Ohio.
Yeah, but you know I had to ask you that question. I can't just say, hey, I know it's not.
I know.
I'm setting you up to answer the question, Chris. You know.
No, I know. It's Ben's offense. He talked about, you know, he rankled them by saying he was drawing plays up in the dirt to bring them back from deficits earlier this year against, like, Tennessee and Baltimore, especially against the Ravens the first time. It's his offense. Feetner is an offensive coordinator in the NFL for one reason. Ben Roethlisberger likes him and gets along with him. I think there's been a little friction between those two and between Ben and Tomlin to a degree with some of this making it up stuff from earlier in the year, but it's Ben's offense. He has the agency to change plays. There was controversy that he was changing runs into passes too often at the line of scrimmage. It's definitely his offense, and he's got to wear the blame for it, in my opinion.
So if he's still calling, you get what I'm saying here. Now we're running out of time, like really quickly. If he's calling the plays and he's also bad, like I just got to throw more blame on Ben Roethlisberger then. Like that's what I have to do. Yes or no, right?
I mean, the last thing I'll give you, Ken, and I'm sorry that I wasn't maybe more clear here. You're like being forced to lead me, a cow, to the top of the Matterhorn, it seems, with this.
Uh-huh.
They threw a ton of passes in games where they clearly had a quarterback who couldn't pass. If you
Chris,
go from
I'll bring you back, Chris, I'll bring you back on the other side. We got it all. I'll bring Chris right back. It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.